is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a great day. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Humayun Sanati, a board-certified medical oncologist who specializes in geriatrics, internal medicine, and palliative care. Dr. Sanati has been honored with numerous awards, including America's Top Oncologist, selected by Consumers Research Council of America. In addition to being a Memorial Care Medical Group specialist, Dr. Sanati is medical director of the breast oncology at the Memorial Care Breast Center at Long Beach Memorial and Orange Coast Memorial Medical Centers. Welcome, Dr. Sanati.
And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the advances in the treatment of breast cancer, because there are many. First of all, what are the new breast cancer screening tools that our listeners should know about?
There are at least two screening tools that the listeners need to be aware of. And one they may have heard about is the 3D mammogram, also known as tomosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new modality that is similar to mammogram, but it takes many pictures of the breast, and it kind of gives a three-dimensional picture of the breast to the radiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the benefits it has, it reduces the callback rate in patients, especially the patients that have dense breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And reducing callback rate usually reduces the anxiety for the patient.
Let's answer a question that I think would crop up. What is callback rate?
Sometimes the radiologist sees an abnormality on the mammogram and they ask the patient to come back for more imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And normally one of every 10 mammogram we would see an abnormality, and we have to call the patient back.
Okay.
And most of those abnormalities are benign, and just it adds a little anxiety for the patient.
Sure, sure, and inconvenience and time and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about this, of course, the other question that came to mind is, do more images mean more radiation, and could you address that?
Yes, actually, this modality has slightly more radiation involved with it. It's about 1.5 times radiation it has that compared to a regular mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes more pictures. But for some patients, especially the ones that have dense breasts, taking one 3D mammogram may be beneficial because you don't end up getting more imaging and more additional mammograms. So you would save some radiation that way.
Okay. Would you still get them once a year?
Yes, it would be once a year.
Over 40, right.
Over 40, correct.
Okay.
And the other modality is an automated whole breast ultrasound. Basically, it's an automated ultrasound that takes pictures of the breast through ultrasound. It's basically an ultrasound probe that circulates throughout the breast and gives a three-dimensional image as well. And this modality recently FDA approved.
Mm-hmm.
And it detects breast cancer at a smaller size, about half of the size of a regular mammogram. And it doubles the rate of detection, basically.
Wow.
And it doesn't have any radiation involved with it, and it would be very reasonable in women who have dense breasts.
Okay.
And they have intermediate risk of breast cancer, and intermediate risk, we're talking about maybe 10 to 20% lifetime risk of developing breast cancer. I think this modality would be very useful.
Which brings us to our next question, because we hear a lot about genetic testing. Would you say genetic testing is beneficial for all people who have a family history of cancer?
It really depends. Probably not for all people, but if there are some red flags, there would be something that to consider. Red flags, I mean, if someone has breast cancer younger than age 45, it's a significant increased risk. Usually 50 years is our cutoff to consider genetic testing.
Okay.
If there is family history of ovarian cancer or personal history of ovarian cancer, that's something that a patient needs to look into to get genetic testing. Is there really strong family history of breast cancer? And there are some people that have, like their mother diagnosed with breast cancer at age 85,
mm-hmm.
and usually those are not genetic. But
okay.
if there are, like, mother diagnosed at age 56, then maternal aunt diagnosed in age 57, you know, these are some of the things we consider.
Sure.
Also, having Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry increases the risk of having genetic mutations. So these are some of the red flags.
Okay. So what is genomic profiling, and how can that help in the treatment of cancer?
Recently, there has been a paradigm shift in the treatment of cancer in general, but more particular for breast cancer. When you look at the breast cancer tumors, under microscope, they look the same,
okay.
but their genetics that driving the tumor might be different. Right now, we have at least two tests that can identify subgroups of breast cancer that we know that probably respond better to hormonal treatment. One subgroup may respond to chemotherapy treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Other subgroup may respond to some targeted treatments. So it helps us to tailor the treatments for each patient. This information is still new, and I think we have a lot of ground to cover, but I think it's a good start. And right now we have four subgroups for breast cancer, which is very simplified, and I think there are many more,
mm-hmm.
but it's a good start.
It's a very good start. Now, there's a huge factor, of course, in the treatment of cancer, chemotherapy, other drug therapies, but has the FDA approved new drugs in the last year? And if so, how are these drugs used?
Yes, we have at least two drugs recently FDA approved for breast cancer. One is called pertuzumab, which is a protein antibody that blocks a receptor on breast cancer tumors, and that receptor is HER2. It's an it's human epidermal growth factor receptor number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that about 20 to 25% of the breast cancer tumors express that receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And this protein antibody goes and binds to that receptor and deactivates the receptor.
Interesting.
And basically blocks the activation of the receptor.
Okay.
And it has been FDA approved in combination with another antibody called trastuzumab, which is similar to this antibody but binds to a different site. And one other drug, docetaxel, for treatment of metastatic breast cancer. In this, being on the same topic with HER2-positive disease, there is another drug on horizon. It's called TDM1.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a drug that has that trastuzumab, and they attached a very potent chemotherapy agent to trastuzumab.
Mm-hmm.
And that chemotherapy agent basically gets the ride on trastuzumab and goes attached to the cancer cells, gets inside the cancer cells, and kills the cancer cells.
Wow.
And it's really a very targeted treatment.
That's incredible. So do you envision in the future, once these drugs get established and are approved, and that a woman could just take some medication to cure her breast cancer?
Probably, I think this would be a goal, and probably we are curing a lot of early stage breast cancer with these drugs already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if we can make a cure within metastatic disease. That's a little harder.
But as you said, it's a goal, huh? Right.
But this drug may make it possible.
All right. Well, Dr. Sanati, I am so sorry that our time is through, but I want to thank you so much for finding time to talk to us, and hopefully you'll come back on the show again.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make a disclosure that I don't have any personal stocks or financial interest in any of the modalities we talked or any of the drugs discussed.
Thank you so much, Doctor. I'm Deborah Howell. Have yourself a great day, and thank you for listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness.